How many of you have experienced some sort of stress this month? Anybody? Yeah? Yeah, there we go. I like this. You guys actually participated with me for once. Good job. What about this week? Anybody this week? Yeah, okay. What about this morning? Got some, all right, we got some warnings. I have a confession. I'm not a very patient person, and my wife will vouch for me on this. I don't have a lot of patience. And so if I have to do something that takes patience, I tend to experience a little bit of stress. Usually this takes place with me trying to fix something or assembling something. I just get stressed out and get angry. And last year we decided that we were going to buy a desk for our house. And so we went out and we picked out a nice desk and we brought it home. That was my job to assemble the desk. And so I began to put this thing together, and I just don't have a lot of patience, and things just weren't going how I thought they would go, and pieces just weren't fitting together right, and finally got to a point, and I was getting angry then. I couldn't find some pieces. I was missing some pieces. And so by this time, I'm yelling at my wife, because she was the reason we got this dumb desk in the first place. I didn't want the desk. She wanted the desk. I actually wanted it too, but we won't tell her that. So I was yelling. I was getting mad. And I was like, you better call this place and tell them we need these dang parts. You know, they better overnight ship them or whatever, because I'm getting ticked off. Actually, I'm about ready to throw this whole desk out the window. Like, I'm about ready to junk it. I'm going to tell them that they make a bunch of junk, and I'm going to throw the junk away. So finally, I'm angry. I'm trying to put this stupid thing together. And she gets on the phone and calls the company, and while she's on the phone telling them, hey, we don't have all the parts, and this is frustrating, this is ridiculous, I lift up a board and there's that bag of missing pieces. So I do what any good husband does, and I make sure she doesn't see it, and I slide those pieces right under the couch. So if anybody's missing some pieces for a desk, I have an extra bag now. No. No, I'm just joking. So I look up at my beautiful, gorgeous wife, and I say, hey, honey, I found the parts. And she begins to get off the phone and yell at me.
Stressed.
Yeah, stressed. Let's just say we were experiencing some anger and some irrational thoughts and some stress in that situation. Anybody with me? Anybody have those situations? There are all sorts of things that cause stress and anxiety in our lives. And most often, that stress and anxiety comes our way when we experience things that are unplanned or that we're unprepared for, am I right? Like when the boss comes in and asks for the report you were supposed to do, but you forgot about it and thought you had another week yet to finish it, right? Or what about when you get the bill in the mail that you weren't expecting? Or maybe the doctor calls and he tells you that he needs to talk to you because he has some concerns. You experience stress when the school calls and tells you that they have some concerns about your child. We haven't got that call yet. Yet. But I know it's coming, especially when Grady gets into school. That school will have us on speed dial. Actually, right now they have us on speed dial because I have a tendency to forget to pick up my kid from school. And so they tend to give me a little friendly reminder. Hey, are you going to come pick up your kid today? Oh, yeah, supposed to do that, wouldn't I? Anyways, stress, anxiety causes fights. But these are things that bring legitimate stresses into our lives, right? I mean, these are legitimate stresses. And here's the truth. As long as we live here on earth, we're going to go through times that causes stress. There will never be a time in your life this side of eternity when you don't have some kind of stressful situation coming your way. And if you can't think of a reason to feel stressed out at this very moment, just give it a couple days. I mean, I promise you, just give it a couple days. And better yet, when you go home this afternoon, just turn on any 24-hour news channel. If you want to be stressed out, just turn on any 24-hour news channel. And with a half hour, you'll be outside building a bomb shelter, stocking up food and stocking up ammo. I mean, that's just how it is. So here's the thing. This sermon isn't going to be are you feeling stressed? How about anxiety? Well, just follow these easy steps, and you can kiss anxiety and stress goodbye. Because like I said, that's just not possible. That's just not possible. But what we will talk about this morning are some steps to take in order to walk through stress and anxiety. So we're gonna look at five ways, and here's the thing. I was working on this sermon this week, and I noticed that I was getting a little long-winded in my sermon. And so I actually cut this down into two parts. So today we'll actually be talking about one and two, and then next week we'll pick up with Daniel. We've been walking through the book of Daniel, overwhelmed. We're going to kind of jump out of the book of Daniel for these first two ways to walk through stress and anxiety, because I think these are some foundations that we need to lay before we get to the next three. And so next week we'll go through the next three, and we'll be jumping back into the book of Daniel. So that's just an opportunity for you guys to have to come back, because you'll be living, you'll be halfway through stress and anxiety and not have to know how to get out. So you'll have to come back for the next three. But I noticed I was getting a little long-winded, and a wise man once told me, the mind can only retain what the butt can sustain. Brian Davis, right? Right? So I felt like you guys didn't want to listen to me talk for an hour and a half, so I cut it down. So we're only down to 50 minutes today. So no. Well, we'll go through, and the next week we'll work through the next three, and so we'll split this up into. So this will be called part one. So the first one, we'll just go right in, jump right in. The first step to walk through stress and anxiety is, the first one is, believe that God is holy and good. Believe that God is holy and good. Here's the thing. Everyone changes, right? Physically, emotionally, spiritually, our personalities change, our preferences change. I used to hate coleslaw, and Linda Lockhart made us some coleslaw a couple weeks ago, and I loved it. I've never liked coleslaw. I hated it, and I tried it. My taste buds have changed. Our perspectives change. Our relationships change. Everything changes in our lives. But guess what? God never changes. And the first thing we need to realize about his unchanging character is that he is holy. In fact, the word holy is the only word in the Bible that's used three consecutive times to describe the character of God. And you know these verses probably. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And then Revelation 4, 8 says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. No one ever sees God and says, grace, 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 or love, love, love. Yeah, sure, he is those. But on several occasions, the angels say, holy, holy, holy. I guess the first two holies weren't good enough. They had to use another one. Holy, holy, holy. Holy means perfect. Holy means without sin. And holy is who God is. God's holiness means he has never made a mistake. You realize that? He's never made a mistake. He has never had to say, oops, or my bad, or man, I'm really sorry I messed that one││ up. And not only is God holy, but God is also good. The Bible is filled with verses about the goodness of God. And Psalms 136, verse 1 tells us about his goodness, how it's ingrained as part of his character. It says this, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Every so often, I'll actually get asked this question. Brent, is there anything God can't do? Want to know the answer? He can't stop being holy, and he can't stop being good. Holiness and goodness are not what he does, but rather who he is. And he can't cease to be who he is. And then comes the pushback. There's always pushback. Well, if God is holy and good, then why do so many bad things happen, right? We've probably come across that question before. You've probably asked that same question in your life. I know I have. I've asked that very question when I'm going through hard times, when things aren't going the way I want them to go. And so I thought back to the times in my life when I had doubted God's holiness and goodness. And I realized that the reason for my doubts were because he didn't do everything I'd want him to do, which made me the object of my worship rather than him. Here's the thing we must realize. Our circumstances do not alter his character. Anyone can say God is good when great things are happening, but God is holy and God is good no matter what we're going through. Jesus says this about this very issue in Luke chapter 11 through 13. It says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? That's pretty bad father, right? Hey, Dad, I'm hungry. Can I have some fish? Here's a snake. Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion. If you then, don't ask your dad for an egg. If he gives you a scorpion, you call me. We'll take care of that. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus said that God can't give bad gifts, which is totally the opposite of how we feel when bad things are happening, right? God, what are you doing? Did you make a mistake? Was that an oops moment, God? And being a father myself, I actually have a better understanding of this passage. One of the things I love about being a dad is seeing my kids full of joy. I love it. I love when my kids are laughing, like a big, hearty laugh, that uncontrollable laugh that can't stop. Nothing makes me happier than to hear their laughs and see their smiles. But listen closely. In order for me to be a good father to my kids, there are times I have to intervene and tell them no, or even step in and remove them from situations that could harm them. There are just things they want to do that if I let them, they could really hurt themselves. Running with scissors is one of them. My kids, my girls, they love to make stuff. Like, you set a box in front of them, they're cutting it up, they're doing stuff, they're taping things on it. They just love to make stuff. They're very creative. They have very creative minds, which makes them get up onto the counter and grab the scissors, and then they start running through the house like, I got the scissors! And I'm like, whoa, stop. Snatch them scissors up from them. And they think, oh, Dad's just being mean. You know, they cry, Dad's just being mean. He doesn't love me. But what they couldn't see was that when they thought of me being mean, was that actually me rescuing them from future pain. And that's exactly what our Heavenly Father does for us. In times in our lives, we feel like God's being just a killjoy. But in actuality, he's rescuing us from future pain. I need some help this morning. Will, you awake? Can you come up and help me? Oh, yeah. This is Will. He's been coming to youth group for quite a while now. And Will's a pretty cool guy, except Will likes Michigan. And so next week we'll be talking about sin, so you may want to sure come back and enjoy that one. No, but Will's a cool kid, and I have three candy bars here. I have a Snickers bar, a Twix bar, and a Kit Kat bar. And let's pretend that you've never had one of these before, okay? You're looking at these for the very first time, and I'm telling you what they are. They're chocolate, okay? How would you know which one you like? By the looks? You could read about them, right? But ultimately, you have to do what? Or you could open them up and eat them, try them, taste them, right? Ultimately, that's the only way you're going to find out. You could read all about these, but until you actually open them up and taste them, that's the time you'll find out which one of these is good, right? Or which one of these is your favorite, right? Okay, here, you can take those. Whatever. Share them with your friends. Share them with everybody. pass them around the congregation. Everybody take a bite. Let's do that. Yeah. But see, the only way you know what candy bar you like is to open it up and take a bite, right? And then you take a bite of this one. I like all candy bars. I've never found a bad candy bar, so. But some people have their favorites. But check out this invitation. Check out this invitation we have in Psalms 34:8. It says this: Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. In other words, don't take my word for it. Taste and see for yourself that God is good. And I know, as far as in my life, God has always been good. God is always good. God is always holy. He's always good. The second step in walking through stress and anxiety in your life is believe His promises. Believe His promises. And we touched a little bit about this on the very first sermon in the Overwhelmed series. But believe His promises. One thing I must admit, when I was little, I was scared of our basement at home. Like, it freaked me out. It was not a nice finished basement. It was like one of those gloomy, dark cellar kind of basements, low ceiling, exposed beams, and there was like one room that when you walk down the stairs, there's one room with all the clothes and the washing machine and dryer, and then there's a brick wall that separated and went into another room, and that was even darker and creepier, and that's where the furnace was, and then like back behind there was this little room. I've never, still to this day, have been in that little room back there. It's just creepy. Just creepy. And then in that second room, there was this ledge. There's this ledge that run the whole side of the, and it kind of went up into like a little crawl space area. This was like kind of stones and dirt over there, and I always thought Dracula was buried in there. And so, like, I would run down, like, I would go downstairs, and I'd just, like, it's creepy, and kind of, like, throw my laundry in, and I would bolt back upstairs as fast as I can to shut off the light. Because I was scared. It just, yeah, I don't even like, it gives me chill. It gives me stress and anxiety just thinking about it. You know? But here's the thing, here's the truth. If I was with someone else, an adult or maybe an older cousin, someone who I thought was stronger than myself, I wasn't scared. I wasn't scared, not because of what I could do, but because I knew the person with me was more powerful than I was. I'll let them take care of Dracula, and I'll just keep running. But this gave me power by association. Because I was with somebody who I thought was stronger than me, that gave me power by association. Now, with that image in mind, here's a promise we need to wrap our minds around. God is always with you. And He has more power than anything you will come up against. Even dark and creepy basements where Dracula is buried. Isaiah 41, chapter 10 says this. I think we have it on the screen. Yeah. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You don't have to be afraid, because He's with you. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, 5 through 7, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. If you have your Bibles out, or you want to pull them out, you want to underline that, circle it, highlight it, star it, whatever you need to do. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The Lord is near. The reason why we don't have to be anxious about anything is because the Lord is near. I am so thankful I serve a God who is near to me. But why is it essential for us to understand that God is with us? Because God's presence is greater than our problems. God's presence is greater than your problems. God's presence in your life is greater than anything you will come up against. He has more power than you do. He has more wisdom than you do. He has more awareness than you do. And if he is with you, you can walk through any stressful situation this world throws your way. But here's the thing. Here's the thing you need to listen to very closely. This promise is for believers. If you have accepted Christ in your life, then this promise is he is with you. And if you've never invited Jesus Christ in your life, here's the promise. He wants to be with you. And I believe you know that because you've probably felt God nudging you. What decision will you make? Realize that God is holy and good and believe his promise that he is with you. Will you pray with me? Father God, it's kind of hard to say this, but I thank you for stress and anxiety in our lives because that pushes us to seek your face more. And Father, it's very reassuring to us to know that we do not have to be stuck within the midst of our stress and anxiety, but you want to lead us through that. And so, Father, as we continue to work through this overwhelm series and talking about stress and anxiety next week too, Father, continue to build us up. Continue to remind us how holy and good you are in our lives. Because it's hard to realize those when bad things are happening in our lives, but our circumstances, they don't change who you are. They don't change your character. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Father, continue to build us up. Continue to help us when things are stressful and we're feeling anger and anxiety. Father, help us to look towards you be our guiding light. You be our cloud by day and our pillar of fire by night. And you lead us to where you've called us to be. We thank you, Father, in your name we pray.